So hello and happy Tuesday to everyone listening. This is your mini-sode with myself, Carolina Gropa, and my associate producer, the lovely
Sarah Bakian.
There she is. Amazing.
Here I am, right on cue.
Here we are, halfway through April. Why is it that the year always goes by so much faster once January ends? I just can't quite grasp that.
I don't know.
It's just crazy.
But you know what? Maybe it's just because it's springtime and the seasonal depression is slowly melting away. But I feel like a really nice sense of optimism has come with the month of April.
Good. Spring is almost here. It's just the time for rebirth, sowing, planting. What's the metaphor we're thinking here? We're reaping what we've sown.
Yes.
You know, stepping into a new light,
yeah,
to sunshine.
All of the above.
All of the things. I mean, yeah, I think I would say, despite the dire vibes, I think I shared this in the newsletter on Friday, still choosing to stay positive and choosing to focus on people and things that bring inherent positivity into your life instead of the negative toxicity that can be out there. And everybody's on their own journey, and it's not to discredit any feeling. All feelings are valid, but I think trying to redirect some of that energy and that fear into what is in your control, what is positive about right now, I think is a really worthwhile exercise.
Yeah. And I feel like I just had a conversation with a friend yesterday, and it's someone who is currently in a position in their career that I would love to be in. And seeing how that person is still unhappy makes me realize all the more that, like, you really have to find happiness outside of the industry. Like, it's not going to come from within the industry, no matter how successful you are. Like, it's never going to come from that career validation. It's got to come from within.
I know. And I think the people that figure this out sooner rather than later have a better time navigating these ups and downs. Because similarly, when I've had a lot of off mic conversations with some of our lovely podcast guests, I hear that, you know, repeated time and time again, women that you think, oh my gosh, they're doing this, or they work with this person, or they've won this award, or they're making this amount of money, and they've got to figure it out. And that's my North Star. And then you realize it's not all sunshine and rainbows, you know, it's just, I don't know if it's just human nature. If once we get to a goal that we've been working towards, right, that diminishing return on happiness, that happiness curve of, like, you can only sustain that for so long before you need another hit of, like, another challenge to kind of keep feeling that. But I think, yeah, if you can find more consistency and stability in the journey, which I talk about a lot on the show, I think that's how you stay the course and end up on the other side, not being like a bitter, cynical person, frankly. Yeah. And it's a choice we all get to make. So
today we're choosing optimism
as we jump into a very
scary topic.
AI, you guys, AI is a scary topic. It's been top of mind, top of soul for a long time, it feels like, in the industry. But I gotta say, like, for me personally, I've been living with AI and some of this technology much longer than people may realize, because I chose to come and pursue this industry, but I have brothers and my sister-in-law and really smart people around me who went into tech early on. So even during the pandemic, my sister-in-law was part of building an AI robot for the Star Wars theme park that was like a fully automated concierge that was in your room that you could talk to. And so I was a part of seeing her build that. And my brother too has been in like the VR AR space. I went to one of the first Oculus conferences before people knew what Oculus was. And so I've been sort of tangentially around this information longer than we collectively have been talking about it in the entertainment industry. So I think I have a very different perspective, even though I certainly share a lot of the same concerns and fears that were excavated, if you will, during the writer's strike. And so I wanted to talk this week about AI because I shared an interesting article on Friday's newsletter from No Film School, where these young filmmakers made a really cool short, actually. It's a 2-minute short called Airhead, using mostly AI. And what I thought was interesting about the article is how many humans they still needed to make even that 2-minute video, and how even though AI is going to continue to progress, there are so many shots that the AI itself couldn't really create for them, and they had to still practically shoot some of that stuff in more VFX, composite it, as opposed to just typing in a script and AI perfectly gives you a beautiful 2-minute short film that makes sense and is coherent. So I was really curious to chat with you about it. And there's a little like making of featurette that I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I am definitely more frightened of AI than optimistic about it, I must say. But watching this video and reading the article, I think, enlightened me in a few different ways where I felt like, one, I was like a little bit, no disrespect to the filmmakers. I'm sure this is a very difficult software to use, especially right now when it's in its like infancy. But I felt a little relieved. Like, it's not as far along as I was expecting. Like, it definitely still has that, to me at least, that sort of uncanny valley feel to it. And like, there were so many visual inconsistencies that I noticed where I was like, just, you know, I'm not totally frightened yet. The thing that I think made me the most relieved is that although I thought, you know, maybe it could have been interesting for like an online, you know, commercial spot, like an ad spot for, you know, something, I didn't feel there was any really purposeful narrative intentional choices in terms of like camera movement, in terms of direction and story, and things that, you know, cinematographers and directors spend a lot of time talking about to make intentional in TV and film. I didn't get any of that from this. And that's no disrespect to the directors of this project, because again, they're using this software that's completely new. But it made me have a very big sense of respect for the technical artists that are, you know, spending hours making these choices and giving us interesting intentionality in our visual narratives. And I was missing a lot of that from this. So as a technology, like as an innovative program, you know, I think that's interesting, but I don't think it is anywhere near, you know, up to par with like the human side of things just yet.
Yeah, 100%. And I think one of the things I loved from this article is one of the guys, this is a group called Shy Guys. They're a small production company that made this film and had a Q&A with the team behind No Film School. But one of the quotes that really stuck out to me is he said, you know, I personally wish that more people could use Sora right now, because I think they would come to the very quick realization that you need people. It's powerful. It's an incredible feat and it generates some really cool stuff. But even having used it, I'm like, I can't wait to go work with the humans. But I will say, as we were discussing earlier, that if an executive wants to flatten their company so they make all the money and go make their own movie with AI right now, I pray to see that movie and see the inside mind of an executive who thinks they can just get AI to do it for them. Because I believe that very quickly we'll realize how important creatives and technicians are. So I'm actually encouraged that Sora will have the ability to democratize the film industry for indie filmmakers. If you're working with really limited budgets and you have something that's very ambitious, that's actually kind of possible now. So I appreciate this perspective very much, because when you watch the video, to your point, it's very interesting, but it's lacking so much that brings it, again, that human element, because it wasn't entirely created by humans, right? But aesthetically, and what kind of story they're able to tell, which is about a guy whose head is made of an air balloon wandering around, it's like a slice of life. To do that practically, even for a 2-minute short, would cost so much money that it's kind of cool that they got to say, hey, let's just see what happens if we humanize this guy who's got a balloon for a head, you know? And there's so many people with such cool ideas that I think that can become cost prohibitive, that I think it's going to open it up to so many more filmmakers across the world who now, with just access to a laptop, can really tell stories in a way that we've never seen before. So I find that aspect of it super exciting. And for those of you who maybe are a little lost on what we're talking about, so Sora AI released a demo February 15th that was the uproar, heard all over the world, and it left a lot of people feeling all kinds of ways, mostly negative, especially in the entertainment industry. There's a lot of positivity around this. And this YouTuber, Marcus Aurelius, who I've been following for a long time, he's like a tech dude all the way. He's got like 4 billion views total lifetime. I really trust his perspective. And he has got this really great video dissecting this technology and explaining why people are generally scared. And actually, a year ago, There's a really famous video of an AI Will Smith eating spaghetti that was a mockery all over the internet because it was so ridiculous. It looked like some really terrible abstract art that no one ever needs to see. But his point is that this is where we were a year ago, and look at how far we've come. It's not perfect, absolutely, but where will we be 3 years from now? So I think that we have to consider that regardless of how we feel about it, this technology is here to stay, and it's going to be on us to, since it is in its infancy, really raise it right, you know, and really give it the input that it needs so that we raise a healthy AI adult, if you will. We're in the information gathering stage in the same way that when the internet was invented and became like a daily part of our lives, right? Because I came up at a time when the internet was a place you went to for 30 minutes a day on AOL dial up, and you message with some friends and you did research for a school paper, maybe, you know, like it was such a different place. And even then people were so scared about what this was going to do to us. And yes, we can argue there's been a lot of negative side effects of the internet, social media, absolutely. But what about all the things it's given us, right? Who in today's day and age can imagine their lives without the ease of a lot of this technology that we are all addicted to? We are. So knowing that AI has the power to be this new thing in our lives, how do we get ahead of it and make it work for us instead of being in this place of fear? And you actually brought up this really great article that Reese Witherspoon, she spoke recently at the Paley Fest, right? And she had a whole thing on AI. Tell us a little bit more about that article and the parts that stuck out to you, because apparently the internet was going a little cray with it on it.
Yeah. So this was, I think she was doing an interview for the morning show. So this was with Jennifer Aniston and, you know, a few of the other cast members. And the quote that she said, a lot of things. There were a lot of really interesting points in this sort of long quote that's been kind of truncated into little bite-sized pieces, depending on, you know, what part you're more interested in, because she talks a lot about, you know, data transparency as well. But AI specifically, she says, it's here to stay, so just get used to it. And I think AI is not coming for your job. People who know how to use AI are coming for your job, so learn about it. It should be a tool upon which we lay our own creativity, our own humanity, and our own ethics. That's a whole conversation for women and people of color and people who are othered sometimes in those developmental spaces really need to get in there. Let's not be scared of it. Let's dive in. So there were a few different reactions to this online that I was noticing. You know, some people were very much in agreement. They were saying AI is here to stay. It's something that people are definitely going to be using more of. Let's embrace it, yada, yada. And then there was the other side of the coin, which was, you know, Reese Witherspoon is a very successful actress turned businesswoman. She is definitely speaking here, in my thoughts, she's speaking more so from the buyer's side and from the corporate side rather than the artist side. I think that her statement's a little bit confusing. I know what she is getting at when she says AI is not coming for your job. People who know how to use AI are coming for your job. But that's the truth of the matter is that AI will replace some key occupations in this industry. Like in the in the second YouTube video we were watching where, you know, we talked about drone footage and people who license their footage to, you know, stock footage sites. What's going to be the use for that skill set when you can just generate your own footage for a small subscription fee or whatever it is? So I do understand to a certain extent the we should all understand what we're afraid of ideology. But I think at the same time, there's a lot to be afraid of, at least from my standpoint, in terms of tech jobs being replaced, in terms of, we should probably mention at some point that most automated technology has a lot of like internal biases because it's created by people with internal biases. So, you know, how do we make it safe and usable for people of color or these people that are being othered in these spaces, like Reese was talking about. So in my dream world, like if this is a technology that's maybe used to like help indie writers and directors with like sizzle reels, and then that's where it like stops.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's so much to unpack there, and I, again, I'm not an expert in any of this. This is just my opinion today on this date in 2024, and right. I'll be curious how it evolves for myself too, but I think one, ignoring this or not talking about this is not a good use of our time right now. Like I was saying, we were saying earlier, like there's a lot of dead space with what we want to be doing or what's happening and what's in production. So I think filling our time, not all of our time, but some of our time with deepening our knowledge of this is really a good thing to be doing, period, right? Regardless of what you think about it. But I do think that like, if the people that start to, if you're a woman of color or a person, you're a woman or a woman of color or a person of color, and you really get ahead of being not afraid of this technology, really understanding where the limitations are and where the benefits are, what value add exists. To your point, like, yeah, you still, maybe a lot of drone operators will be out of work because the productions who want to do the, like, right now, the cheapo version of what's available will just use whatever Sora AI points out. But like, the article we talked about, the No Film School article, AI can't take camera direction. It doesn't quite have that advancement. So if you are someone who has a very specific vision of that drone footage that you need, you're still going to hire those experts, right? I think what's going to happen is, unfortunately, the pool of the people that are going to be hired to deliver at that level is going to get smaller. But where can others pivot and use that skill to a different degree? I don't have the answer to that, right? But I think while it will potentially eliminate some jobs, what if it creates a whole new sect of jobs that we can't even quite understand yet, you know? So if we could have women and people of color ahead of this technology, then they'll be the people who are ahead of it with the AI experience to come for the jobs of the people who are not taking this seriously. I think of it that way, right? Instead of getting left behind because we're just all fearful of what this can do. It's like, yes, there is always fear with big change and transition, but this industry has existed only because people keep constantly pivoting every single time. It's endured tremendous changes. But I think AI is not just, you know, it's not just coming for entertainment. It's coming for a lot of different industries. So it's feels like a bigger collective thing. But I personally think, yes, Reese is obviously speaking here from a place of a woman with a company. If you asked her as an actor what she thought, I wonder if she would have a different response, right? But I think if somebody of Reese Witherspoon's stature comes out and says, guys, we should be terrified, that's worse because it creates panic, right? And when we're in a panic state, we're not thinking clearly. We're not showing up as our best selves. And if she's tapped into an audience of predominantly women and people of color, and I don't know if she is, then perhaps this is the message that can get younger people listening going, you know what, I'm going to be empowered by this and I'm going to take matters into my own hand and I'm going to go learn Sora and I'm going to go work with the people that maybe are a little ahead of this technology and figure out how I can incorporate that into what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think in my head, it's, I don't really think people are afraid of the technology. I think people are afraid of in whose hands lies this technology. Right. Because, you know, if it's in the hands of someone with good intentions, like, I think only good can come of it. However, I think because a lot of us know and have seen firsthand that this industry time and time again will choose money over people. Yeah. What does that mean for all of us? And I think that's where the fear comes from, is that, you know, we are being, I mean, traumatic, but like led like pigs to slaughter. Like, we're just being told, like, oh, embrace it, it's here to stay, like, you know, nothing's gonna prevent it, people from using it, it's here now, so it's here forever. And, you know, I think people are so resistant to it, not because they're so gung-ho about humans doing absolutely everything, but because they know that this is like a first step of a very scary staircase.
Yeah, I get that. So if it takes a decade, if it takes 20 years for this to become like the new world, what are we doing in the meantime to prepare ourselves for a future that is coming? And how do we protect ourselves in the process? And if this is the name of the game right now and you got to play to win, how do you play to win? That's my question, you know? That's what I'm trying to think through.
Right.
How do I use these tools and learn about this stuff in a way that can positively impact my job, mm-hmm. my skills, my community, and help other people? The more we can understand how to catch what AI footage really looks like so that it doesn't become this thing where you can't even tell the difference anymore, right?
Yeah.
That's where I get concerned, is when we get to a point where the new generation growing up watch a video of a bunch of golden retrievers and that becomes their imprint of what reality is. And then as they grow up, they actually can't discern between the two because they're growing up in that world. I'm very curious to see how that'll be.
Very, very yeah. interesting. I suppose we should
very interesting.
Let's revisit April 15th, 2025. Let's see.
Yeah, let's see where things are.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if you're out there listening, researching, reading about AI, if you have links you want to share, resources, questions, not that we're experts, but things that you're curious about, feel free to share or send them to us, because we're, you know, very eager to keep this kind of like thread of AI as an open dialogue with everybody as we all grow and learn.
Yeah.
So
I suppose Carolina's excited. I'm anxious.
I mean, it depends on the day. I'm excited, not because I'm not also anxious. I am also all these other things, but I'm making a choice, a deliberate choice, to look on the positive of what this could offer instead of feeling doomsday about all the things that it's going to take away, because both are equally true.
Right. I feel like you and I are like the little devil and angel on AI's shoulders or whatever. Like, you're the one who's like, it's going to be fine. Like, we're going to be able to like be optimistic and positive and see this through. And I'm like,
that's what I was saying. I think because, but I think that because I have people that are family members who intimately talk about this stuff. I mean, I mostly listen because I can't keep up, but like, I've been a part of these conversations for so long, and I'm around people that understand this so much better than I do, that their confidence and their way that they navigate and explain things to me is what gives me that slight advantage of having a little bit more optimism, as opposed to just feeding into doomsday. There's no shortage of things that can just make you scared all the time, but is that the best use of your energy right now is my question.
Right. I'll take off the tinfoil hat.
So, all right. Well, we'll leave you on that note. Thanks for tuning in and doing this life thing with me as we do these mini-sodes and dive into these other fun topics. Let us know if you have any thoughts. Hit us up on email, on IG, wherever you feel like contacting us. If you don't already subscribe, please make sure you subscribe. And if you are in a position to support the show, please head on over to patreon.com/angleonproducers. And sign up for whatever tier is possible for you so that we can keep this going.